Podcast.
Hey, I'll call your soul.
What up, bitches? Welcome to the Horrorcore Podcast. This is Bart, back once again with episode 10. Kind of rhymed there, huh? Feeling a little fucking freestyle shit going on today. But anyways, fresh off the heels of Motor City Nightmares out in Detroit, the latest horror convention, which was pretty goddamn cool, I must say. Had a great weekend out there all together. I grew up in the Detroit area, so I drove out there. Visited some friends for the weekend, got to catch up with them. Went to Motor City Nightmares Saturday, got to meet Gray from the Dark Hours and Root Rot from the Witch's Hat. Pretty cool dudes there. Got to sit in on a little bit of them recording some stuff, so gotta say, thoroughly enjoyed myself. Handful of celebrities there. You know, Kyle Gass was there from Tenacious D. Me and friend of mine stood and talked to him for a second. He's just a fucking dick, man. Didn't look like he wanted to be there at all. Which I don't blame him, because he was in Tenacious D and Jack Black's off making millions of dollars shooting movies and he's doing the horror circuit. So, who else was there? Candyman was there. Tony Todd. Talked to him for a little bit. I didn't get any pictures or any autographs with these dudes, because I'm not into paying someone to sign something or to stand with me in a picture. Now, I'd love to get my picture taken with these people, but I'm not going to place anybody higher than me. I'm not, you know, if I give them $20 to have them sign something, which I wouldn't, I'm not into autographs, but if I were to give them $20 to stand and take a picture with me, I'm basically telling them that they're better than me, that, you know, which is bullshit. Fuck that, man. But I talked to everyone that was there, you know, shook hands and whatnot. Tony Todd was cool as shit. Kane Hodder was there, from Jason Voorhees. He was real cool. Danielle Harris seemed like, she was there. She didn't seem like she wanted to be there at all. She looked like she was kind of jaded to the whole thing. John Russo was there. So I didn't talk to him for a while. You have to talk to an icon like that. But he's kind of an ornery old man. He was kind of funny. Who else was there? Some chick from the Scream Queens. Some reality show that was on VH1, apparently. It was kind of funny watching her, Root Rotten Gray had a booth right across from her, and you just sit there, and it's kind of sad to watch her. Nobody knew who the fuck she was, and nobody wanted to talk to her. That was kind of funny. Some chick that was in Cabin Fever, I don't remember. Apparently she was a Power Ranger, too. My buddy Mike, he had a thing for her. He kept trying to get her to go bowling with him, so that was a little amusing. Bought all kinds of shit. I bought all kinds of action figures and toys and piggy banks and lunch boxes and shit. Spent too much money there, but man, it was a fucking blast. That was my first convention. Never been to any other conventions, but I can honestly see myself going back there next year. You probably won't see any pictures with me and anybody even next year. I mean, unless there's someone that I just, basically have a hard dick for. Maybe Bruce Campbell. I could see myself paying to get a picture with him. But I don't see him doing conventions like that. Oh, yeah. But anyways, let's get into the show. Now, we're going to continue with this March Madness of Horror. I know fucking April's almost over now. Shit, next week, not even a week from now, it's Easter. So I got to keep going, man. We're almost there. So we have the results from the Final Four and the championship matchups. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Let me talk about Insidious. Went and saw that over the weekend, too. That was a good fucking movie, man. It was real good. It actually made me fucking jump. Movies don't make me jump. I'm so jaded to the whole jump scare tactic. But it made me jump once. I must say I was pretty impressed with that. There was a part or two that, didn't need to be in there. But you can pick apart any fucking movie. Even the great classics, you can find stuff that shouldn't be in there. Stuff that you can edit out. But overall, man, that was a good fucking movie. I highly suggest you go and see it. I can't wait for a Blu-ray copy to come out, an HD copy to come out, since I don't have a Blu-ray player, but an HD copy to come out I'm going to sit and watch, let my kids watch that, crank up the surround sound on the big TV and turn out all the lights and have the wife and kids experience the movie Insidious. That should be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to that. What else have I been watching? Chris, I usually keep notes of what I've been watching. I don't have anything in front of me. Just spur-of-the-moment type shit. Got a little bit of extra time, so I figured I'd throw some shit down. Try to get an episode out before we hit fucking May and Christmas and still doing this shit. But, let me think here. Anything else? Shit. If I think of anything else, I'll bring it up later. But anyways, the matchups, the Final Four results. We had Texas Chainsaw Massacre up against Friday the 13th franchises. And we had George A. Romero's Dead series up against the Halloween series. And the winners are, unfortunately, Friday the 13th beat out my favorite movie of all time / series, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So Friday the 13th franchise will be moving on to the championship round. And then over on the other side, we had Halloween beating out George A. Romero's Dead series. So we're going to have Friday the 13th up against Halloween. I mean, honestly, did you see it going down any other way? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do a little bit of an overview of both franchises. Go over all the parts for Friday the 13th and Halloween, go over some statistics and whatnot. So let's get right on into that. All right, before we get into Friday the 13th, I want to go over a couple things, some feedback and some other thoughts. Now, I'm getting some emails. I'm not going to read them, but I mean, the gist of it is, people asking how I can complain about other people, the way they talk and their flaws and whatnot, when I myself have flaws. It's pretty fucking easy, to be honest with you. I will, if I listen to a podcast and I don't like it, I will talk shit about it. Now, I know I'm not perfect, like I've said before, and a lot of you are complaining about my nasally voice And yeah, I know I have a very nasally voice. I can't help that. I have a very big nose, and my nose has been broke 5 or 6 times, so it causes problems with my voice. Nothing I can really do about it. But another complaint I'm getting a lot is people wondering how I can... You know, basically, people are upset because I am trying to cause waves and ruffle feathers. It is not my intent. My intent is to share my opinion with people, to put that out there. People think that there should be peace between horror podcasters and the horror community in general. And I say, bullshit. Fuck that. I will always let it be known how I feel. If that pisses you off, like I said before, don't fucking listen to the show. Or put out your own podcast and complain about me. I welcome it. I have no problem with criticisms. I have no problem with telling me to go fuck myself. I encourage it, man. Speak your fucking mind. That's what's great about this country. You know, it's not communism around here. You can speak your fucking mind. There's no censorship. You don't have to worry about the fucking censor police coming and killing you because you're speaking against something. Fuck that, man. Make your opinions known. I encourage you to, even if it differs from mine, man. Put that fucking shit out there. Now, another thing that I want to address is apparently there's a feud going on between a couple podcast shows. I only know of it because I listen to Horrorphilia and Vaughn was talking about it. Apparently he was did a guest show on Drunken Zombie and was... I don't know if it was in joking or not, because to be honest, I haven't heard that episode. But apparently he was taking some shots at the people over at Mail Order Zombie. And they didn't like it. And I guess they went and complained to Palaver about it. And Palaver, which if you don't know, Palaver is basically a host site. Or not really a host site, it's a website of a community of a bunch of different podcasts. And I guess they went to the people over at Drunken Zombie, told them to apologize, and they said no, so they were booted off Palaver. I personally don't listen to Drunken Zombie or Mail Order Zombie. I have, and I just don't care for them. They're not my cup of tea. They're not bad by any means. They're very good at what they do. Very good at what they do. I just, like I said, they're not my cup of tea. I don't like them. But I did go back and listen to... I downloaded the last episode of Mail Order Zombie, and I just have to say that when they addressed the subject matter of the feud of what's going on, they sounded like pathetic losers. They basically admitted that after they heard the episode, they got upset and they went and tattled. They went to Palaver and tattled. And they come off so fucking pathetic, trying to apologize to their fans, first and foremost, that they had to address it. And I don't know how people can have any respect for them. Like I said, they basically went and tattled. You know, when my kids come and tattle over something stupid like that, they get in trouble. Fuck, man. And these are grown adults, and they're going and tattling. I mean, do they have no pride? I mean, honestly, I think it's one of the most pathetic things, actually the most pathetic thing I've ever heard on a podcast before. But to each his own. Like I said, they don't do bad shows, but that was just some straight-up fucking childish, pathetic, punk bitch shit, man. Fuck 'em. Anyways, one last bit of feedback. I did get a friend request and a comment from Root Rot. Apparently, after meeting and talking to him this past weekend, he went back and listened to some of my older episodes, and I mean, in his words, he said they were fucking awesome, and they remind him a lot of what he used to do back in the day, only better, which that is the highest praise that one can get, in my opinion. He's an awesome guy, and Root Rot, really appreciate the words of encouragement and praise, man. Thanks a lot. Alright, so I do believe I've addressed everything that I wanted to get off my chest. And now we can get into Friday the 13th. All right, first up we have the Friday the 13th franchise. Let's go over a couple things. We'll do a quick overview. Now I'm going to be reading from Wikipedia here. All right, Friday the 13th is an American horror franchise that comprises 12 slasher films, a television show, novels, comic books, and tie-in merchandise. The franchise mainly focuses on the fictional character Jason Voorhees, who drowned as a boy at Camp Crystal Lake due to the negligence of the camp staff. Decades later, the lake is rumored to be cursed and is the setting for a series of mass murders. Jason is featured in all the films as either the killer or the motivation for the killings. The original film was written by Victor Miller and was produced and directed by Sean S. Cunningham. However, neither returned to write or direct any of the sequels. The films have grossed over $465 million at the box office worldwide. The first film was created to cash in on the success of Halloween, and its own success led Paramount to purchase the full licensing rights to Friday the 13th. Frank Mancuso Jr., who produced the films, also developed a television show, Friday the 13th, the series, after Paramount released Jason Lives. The television series was not connected to the franchise by any character or setting, but was created based on the idea of bad luck and curses, which the film series symbolized. While the franchise was owned by Paramount, four films were adapted into novels, with Friday the 13th Part 3 adapted by two separate authors. When the franchise was sold to New Line Cinema, Cunningham returned as a producer to oversee two additional films in addition to the crossover film with Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Under New Line Cinema, 13 novellas and various comic book series featuring Jason were published. Although the films were not popular with critics, Friday the 13th is considered one of the most successful media franchises in America. Not only for the success of the films, but also because of the extensive merchandising and repeated references to the series in popular culture. The franchise's popularity has generated a fan base who have created their own Friday the 13th films, fashioned replica Jason Voorhees costumes, and tattooed their bodies with Friday the 13th artwork. Jason's hockey mask has even become one of the most recognizable images in popular culture. Alright, so with Friday the 13th, we have a total of 12 films and a TV series. Now, they say the TV series was not connected to the Friday the 13th movies, but rumor has it that the final episode was supposed to, the item that they went to track down, because that's what it was. It was a shop that sold items that were supposedly cursed, and then I think it was the grandkids of the original owner of the shop set out to find all of the items that had been sold, and apparently the last episode, the item that they were supposed to go track down was Jason's hockey mask. So they were going to eventually tie it in, from what I understand. There's also been a documentary, which is a really good documentary about the series. It's called His Name Was Jason, and it's hosted by the godfather of gore, Tom Savini. Now let's go over each film here. Pardon me here. Alright, we have Friday the 13th Part 1 came out in 1980. And like I said earlier, it was originally supposed to be a cash-in on the popularity of the Halloween movie. Came out in 1980. It was directed by Sean S. Cunningham, written by Victor Miller. Sean Cunningham also produced it. Now, the original revolves around Jason's mom, Pamela Voorhees, who is pissed off because, boy, how long? 20 years earlier, something like that, her son drowned in Camp Crystal Lake because the counselors that were supposed to be watching were out fucking. So she comes back, gets her revenge. At the end, she's decapitated by the survivor girl. And at the very end, you see Jason jump up and pull the girl down under the water. Now, that originally wasn't supposed to happen. They threw that in. And the original concept of Friday the 13th series was to every year have a different thing happen on Friday the 13th. a different form of bad luck. It was supposed to be a different installment, a different story, every new film. But, apparently the crowd, the audience reacted very heavily towards Jason Voorhees, so they figured they'd tie in Part 2 with it, which Part 2 came out a year later, 1981, directed by Steve Miller. It was written by Ron Kurz and produced by Steve Miner. And that's when you first see Jason Voorhees. He doesn't have the hockey mask yet. He's got a sack over his head. That's when you first see Jason Voorhees. You know what? I think I have a better thing here. All right, what I have here is a timeline. Friday the 13th, the saga timeline. So I found this searching around online. It's pretty neat. Let's go over this. 1930, Pamela Voorhees, maiden name unknown, is born. Tombstone in Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Okay, so she was born in 1930. 1935, Camp Crystal Lake was established. The sign says so in Friday the 13th. So 1935, the camp opens. 1945, Pamela and Elias Voorhees are married. Due to Pamela's young age, the wedding may have occurred after Jason was conceived. 1946, June 13th. Jason Voorhees is born to 16-year-old Pamela Voorhees. Date from Friday the 13th. Year from Jason Goes to Hell. All right, 1954, and apparently this is a guess. Diana Voorhees is born to Elias Voorhees, an unknown woman. And Friday the 13th, Pamela calls Jason her only child. Whether Pamela and Elias divorced prior to her birth, Diana is not Pamela's daughter. Okay, so I think that was in Jason Goes to Hell. It was established that Jason's dad had another child. So 1957 in the summer, Jason purportedly drowns at Camp Crystal Lake, but his body is never recovered. His mother, Pamela, is the camp cook. They get that year from Friday the 13th. 1958, June 13th, Friday. Two camp counselors are murdered at Camp Crystal Lake. The murders go unresolved for 21 years. That's in the prologue of Friday the 13th. 1959 to 1961. Apparently, this is a guess. Fires prevent Camp Crystal Lake from reopening. Enos in Friday the 13th. 1962. Attempt to reopen Camp Crystal Lake halted by bad water. Enos in that Friday the 13th. 1972. Apparently, this is a guess. 18-year-old Diana Kimball, daughter of Elias Voorhees, Jason's half-sister, gives birth to Jessica Kimball, Jason's niece. Okay. We have 1979, June 12th to the 13th, Friday. Steve Christie plans to reopen Camp Crystal Lake. He and six of his counselors are killed by Pamela Voorhees. Alice, a female counselor, survives by decapitating her. From Friday the 13th. Year from the Tombstone, and Friday the 13th, the final chapter, June 13th, 1979, isn't really a Friday. Oh, someone did their research here. All right, August of 1979, Alice returns to Camp Crystal Lake. Jason surprises her with his mother's severed head and stabs her in the temple with an ice pick. Jason takes Alice's body, Friday the 13th, Part 2, prologue. Paul says Alice disappeared 2 months after the events of the first film. I don't remember Alice returning to Camp Crystal Lake. I believe she was at her house when Jason kills her. So yeah, that one's wrong. Alright, 1982, summer. Teenaged Chris flees from her family's Crystal Lake cabin into the woods after a fight. She is attacked by Jason Voorhees, but passes out when she wakes. She is back home in her own bed, and her parents will not speak of the matter. Friday the 13th, 3, flashback. Yeah, that was when she's attacked by Jason. Yeah, you guys remember that. 1984, July 10th to the 11th. 5 years after Pamela Voorhees' murder spree, Paul Holt opens a counselor training camp adjacent to Camp Crystal Lake. After murdering several counselors, Jason is confronted by Ginny Field. She hits him in the shoulder with a machete, but he survives, attacks her, and kills Paul. Alice's corpse is found in Jason's shack. Friday the 13th, Part 2. Okay. Yeah. Then 1984, July 12th to the 13th, Friday. Jason kills a cafe owner and his wife near Crystal Lake and gets a new outfit. He makes his way toward the summer home, Higgins Haven, and kills several vacationing teenagers. Chris survives to hit Jason in the head with an axe, but she breaks down the next morning after hallucinating an attack by Mrs. Voorhees, Friday the 13th, Part 3. Chris and Andy refer to a weekend in the country, and in Friday the 13th, the final chapter, one of Rob's clippings calls Jason the Friday the 13th murderer. Right. Also in 1984, July 14th to the 16th, Jason's body is taken to Wessex County Morgue, from which he escapes after returning to Crystal Lake and killing several people. Jason is killed by 12-year-old Tommy Jarvis. Unbalanced, Tommy spends the next 4 years in mental institutions. Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Alright, and in 1985, this is a guess, an attempt to disassociate itself from Jason Voorhees, Crystal Lake changes its name to Forest Green. 1987, summer. Tommy, looking very mature for 15, is moved from an institution to a halfway house for troubled teens. After his son is killed, ambulance attendant Roy Burns impersonates Jason. Tommy is forced to kill Roy, further affecting his mental state. Tommy attacks Pam, one of the survivors, but is subdued and returned to an institution. Friday the 13th, Part 5. Alright. In 1988, May 12th to the 13th, a Friday, Tommy, now a grown-up 16-year-old, is released from the mental institution where he digs up Jason's grave. A bolt of lightning reanimates Jason. Jason kills his way toward Camp Forest Green, which is once again attempting to open its doors to campers. Tommy drowns Jason in Lake Forest Green, Crystal Lake, and the camp is shut down permanently. Friday the 13th, Part 6. Date from Deputy Colong. Alright, 1989, October 13th, a Friday. John Shepard is killed when his 13-year-old daughter Tina uses her telekinetic powers to collapse the dock he is standing on. Tina is sent to a mental hospital. Friday the 13th, Part 7, prologue, day and date shown. This is a guess. After failing to attract new residents, Forest Green gives up and returns to the name Crystal Lake to capitalize on being the site of the Voorhees murders. The city restores Camp Crystal Lake signs to the defunct property. Okay. 1993, August 12th and 13th, a Friday. Tina Shepard, now 17 years old, returns to Camp Crystal Lake with her mother and her psychiatrist, Dr. Cruz. Tina accidentally raises Jason with her telekinesis, and he goes on another murderous rampage. Tina finally forces Jason back into the lake. Friday the 13th, Part 7. 1994, May 12th to the 13th, Friday. The final class of Lakeview High School graduates, and a reawakened Jason crashes the graduation cruise aboard the SS Lazarus. Jason kills many of the passengers, with most of the rest drowning when the boat sinks. Jason follows the few survivors into New York City, ultimately drowning in a flood of toxic sewage. Friday the 13th, Part 8, which was the worst installment and one of the worst horror movies ever made, in my opinion. 1995, January 13th, Friday. Stephanie Kimball, daughter of Jessica Kimball and Stephen Freeman, is born. October 13th, also a Friday. After years of unsolved murders, the FBI blows up Jason in an ambush during the autopsy. After years of unsolved murders, the FBI blows up Jason in an ambush. During the autopsy, his evil heart possesses the coroner and heads back to Camp Crystal Lake. This is from Jason Goes to Hell, which I think is highly underrated. It was one of my favorite movies of the series. I think it was an excellent movie. Most people hate it, but most people are fucking retarded. All right, October 20th to the 21st, also from 1995. Bounty hunter Creighton Duke makes a statement on tabloid TV program American Case File that Jason is still alive. Jason hops from body to body, committing a series of murders in Crystal Lake before being reborn in his own body, then killed by 22-year-old niece Jessica Kimball. Jason goes to hell. 2002, wow, there's a 7-year drought there. 2002, September 13th, a Friday. Dream killer Freddy Krueger resurrects Jason to create fear among the teenagers of Springwood. But Jason is not so easily controlled and doesn't stop killing the teens. Freddy needs to give him power. A battle between the two finds Jason battered and bloody but victorious. Freddy versus Jason. Year construction site sign... Year construction site sign says occupancy spring 2004. Month, trees are green and corn stalks are full grown. Okay, so that's what they base that on. 2008, and apparently this is a guess. After his capture and conviction of hundreds of murders, Jason Voorhees is sentenced to death. A sentence the government finds difficult to carry out. Rowan and Jason X. August 13th, Friday. The Crystal Lake Research Facility, built to house and study Jason, is reduced to skeleton crew in anticipation of the cryogenic suspension of its subject. Jason nearly escapes, but project leader Rowan manages to freeze them both in cryostasis. Jason X prologue. Year 2455, August 13th, Friday, after the ecological collapse of the Earth, a class on a field trip from Earth 2 returns and recovers the frozen bodies of Rowan and Jason. Jason awakens aboard the transport Grendel, killing most of the Marines and students on the ship. After the android KM-14... God damn it. After the android KM-14 nearly obliterates him...
Nanotechnology repairs and upgrades Jason, and he resumes his single-minded quest. Sergeant Brodsky, the only remaining Marine, sacrifices himself to carry Jason into Earth 2's atmosphere. That's from Jason X. So apparently Jason was going, landed on Earth 2, and who knows what was going to happen after that. Alright, now let's go over a list of deaths from the Friday the 13th series. Now in the original one, we had a total of 11 deaths with, that's including the decapitation of Pamela Voorhees. We're not going to get into details of all the deaths, but there was 11 in part 1. Part 2, there was also 11. And that includes, Alice from the original, Crazy Ralph. That pretty much covers everyone. Part 3, there was, went up quite a bit, had 15 deaths. Alright. And looks like most of them were shown on screen. Friday the 13th, Part 4, the final chapter. We had a total of 14 deaths. Alright, so we went down one. And that includes Jason Voorhees being killed by Tommy Jarvis. Alright, Part 5, A New Beginning. That was the one without Jason. I do believe. Wow. 23 deaths. Holy shit. That's a lot of deaths. Wait. Cause of death, Neil and Les both stabbed by Jason Voorhees. Oh, that must have been a flashback. But there was a total of 23 deaths in that part. Part 6, Jason Lives, and from 1986, we have a total of 19 deaths. Holy shit, man, there's a lot of killing in this series. Alright, Part 7, New Blood, 1988, a total of 17 deaths. Nice. Jason Takes Manhattan. We had a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 deaths in Jason Takes Manhattan. Alright, Part 9, Jason Goes to Hell. A total of 24 deaths. Nice. Freddy vs. Jason. Had a total of 16 deaths. It includes Freddy Krueger being decapitated by Laurie Campbell. Looks like most of those are done by Jason. Yeah, it looks like one was done by Freddy. Yeah, nice. Alright, Jason X. We had a total of, holy balls, 26 deaths. Nice. Then in the fucking dumbass remake, we had a total of 14 deaths. So that gives us a total of, holy shit, that's a total of 210 kills in this franchise. That includes the remake. You know, not all done by Jason, but 210 fucking kills? Jesus Christ, I don't think Halloween's gonna beat that. I don't think any franchise beat that. I'm gonna have to do some research. God damn, I guess Friday the 13th is king. Oh, did I speak too soon? We'll have to see about that. I do believe that's going to conclude my quick overview of the Friday the 13th series. Next, we have the Halloween series. Alright, now let's get into the Halloween franchise. Oh, this one actually predates Friday the 13th, and I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but Halloween was the inspiration for them to start doing Friday the 13th. So if there wasn't Halloween, there wouldn't be Friday the 13th. So take that into consideration before you vote. Not trying to sway you either way, just want you to know that. The original Halloween came out in 1978. It was written, produced by Deborah Hill and John Carpenter, directed by John Carpenter. You know, that basically, I'm sure you know the story already, so I'm not going to recap the synopsis or the story. Like I said, that came out in 78. John Carpenter basically made that with the help of Deborah Hill. Part 2 came out in 81. They wanted to, cash in on it. Or not cash in. Well, yeah, actually, to be honest with you, because of the Halloween franchise, what the fuck was his name? Akkad? Whatever, the Indian dude? He has made it known that, you know, he basically kept making these movies to cash in money. He's not an artist by any means. I don't think he even did, well, shit, by watching some of the movies that were put out in this franchise, he obviously doesn't care if the movie's good or not, as long as it makes money. But anyways, Halloween 2 came out in 81. This one was directed by Rick Rosenthal, but it was written and produced by Deborah Hill and John Carpenter again. So they had a lot to do with it. That one basically picks up right where the first one left off, that same night. I'm sure you've all seen it before, but yeah. Now, Halloween 3, they stepped away from the Michael Myers character, and, you know, it has the Halloween mask and the, what was it, Silver Shamrock, or Four More Days of Halloween. Four More Days of Halloween. Something. Shamrock. Anyways. Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to get deep into these, man, because you've all seen them, I'm sure, and you've all heard all the other podcasts talk about them. And that's something I don't like doing. I don't like rehashing the same shit that's been talked about in other podcasts. I try to find something different. So, that one was written and directed by Tommy Lee Wallace. Deborah Hill and John Carpenter were producers on that. Now, Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, came out in 88. By the way, Halloween 3 came out in 82. Don't know if I mentioned that. But Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, came out in 88. That one was directed by Dwight H. Little. Written by Alan B. McElroy. Produced by Paul Freeman. Of course, that was Return of Michael Myers. Direct response to the outrage of Halloween 3. Which I honestly think Halloween 3 was a good movie. If you are capable of separating it from, the first two, which some people are fucking dense, so they don't have the capabilities of separating it from the original two. But anyways, like I said, Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, blah, blah, blah. On to Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, which came out in 1989. That one was directed by Dominique Olthinen-Girard. Written by, Jesus Christ, Michael Jacobs, Dominique Olthinen-Girard, and Shem Bitterman. I'm sorry, but when you have any more than two writers on a film, usually turns out to be garbage, which... I mean, Halloween 5 ain't garbage, but it's really fucking boring, man. I can't watch 4 or 5. Especially 5, because all it is Danielle Harris running around screaming over and over and over. Anyways, that was produced by Ramsey Thomas. Then we have Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. Came out in 1995. Of course, as everybody knows, there's two different versions of that. There's the one that the studios wanted to put out, which is The Revenge of Michael Myers, or I'm sorry, The Curse of Michael Myers, pretty watered down, you know, whatnot. I mean, honestly, I enjoyed it better than 4 and 5. I haven't been able to watch the entire original cut of it, which I believe is called the producer's cut. It's Halloween 666, something to that effect. I have it. I have the torrent. I just haven't gotten around to watching the whole thing yet, so I really can't comment in depth on it. But the studio version, I enjoyed it better than 4 and 5. It gets a lot of heat, but I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, after, you know, at the end of part 5, when you got the guy in the trench coat and you don't see his face and he goes in and breaks out Michael Myers, and you wait 6 fucking years, those 6 years, man, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? Who the fuck was that? You know, I was fucking dying inside. They explain it in part 6, which, you know, I wasn't too happy with the way they explained it, but the part in that movie that I fucking love is when Michael Myers goes apeshit in the hospital on all those, people that are in the cult, and he just fucking wrecks shit, man, just fucks that shit up. It's like, yeah, get him, Mike! You know, I fucking love that part. Anyways, part 6 was directed by Joe Chappelle, written by Daniel Farrens, and produced by Paul Freeman, once again. Alright. Then we have Halloween H2O, 20 Years Later, which, which, you know, it's return of Jamie Lee Curtis to, you know, celebrate the 20-year anniversary of the original. That came out in 1998. Directed by the great Steve Miner. He's done some great movies. That was written by Robert Zappia and Matt Greenberg, produced by Paul Freeman again. Not a big fan of that one. I mean, it's cool to watch every now and then. Just, it's kind of your standard run-of-the-mill shit. Then in 2002, we had Halloween Resurrection, which was a complete and utter fucking joke. I've always hated Busta Rhymes. Always hated that cocksucker. I mean, I think it goes back to that movie Higher Learning, which is fucking garbage now. I've watched that. Oh, man, it's garbage. Horrible acting. But he's just... I hated him in that movie. And then his fucking videos, they're kind of... Yaw, 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 yaw. Oh, dude, hate that motherfucker. And I really hated seeing him in this franchise. But anyways, that was directed by Rick Rosenthal, written by Larry Brand and Sean Hood, produced by Paul Freeman and Michael Leahy. I'm not going to get into detail on this one because it's just a fucking waste of time. Alright, then we have the remakes by Rob Zombie. In 2007, we have his version of the original, if you want to call it that. Written and directed by Rob Zombie, of course. Produced by Malik Akkad, Andy Gould, and Rob Zombie, which Andy Gould produces, like, all of Rob Zombie's movies. Should look up and see. Find some shit out about that dude. I enjoyed it. I really, really did. I enjoyed the in-depth look into Michael Myers growing up. This gets a lot of flack, man. And I mean, it's grimy. It's, it's dirty. It's white. You know, it's white trash. Rob Zombie obviously knows a lot about white trash. He must have grown up that way or something. But I honestly enjoyed it. And I know there's a couple podcasters out there that enjoy it, but for the most part, man, it gets hammered. The one thing that I didn't like about it is how Rob Zombie, he always finds a way to get his wife in. Which, you know, I guess he has to. Maybe she won't give him any if he doesn't. I don't fucking know. But it's just fucking irritating. And now she's going to be in that movie Lords of Salem. It's like, fuck, man. If it wasn't for Rob Zombie, that bitch wouldn't have anything to do. You know, fuck that. Anyways, I'm getting off. Then we had Halloween 2 in 2009. Of course, written and directed by Rob Zombie. Same producers, Malik Akkad, Andy Gould, and Rob Zombie. I didn't like that one. Honestly, didn't like that. I saw it in the theater as his first remake. I didn't like it. It was really fucking irritating. Rob Zombie went out of his way to write his wife into this movie, and that right off the bat pissed me off. Like, so many of the same actors he reuses. It seemed like he threw this one together as quick as he could, and I even, you know, when it came out on DVD, I even tried to rewatch it, and I couldn't even get through it all. It's just, I don't like it. But anyways, that's the Halloween franchise. Now, I looked and looked and looked and tried to find how many kills were in the series, but for the life of me, I cannot figure it out. You know, I'm finding anywhere from 60 to 130 kills in the whole franchise, which is a big fucking gap. So I don't know what to tell you guys about it other than, you know, I'm not going to go through and rewatch all these movies and write down how many kills, because this episode won't be out till next year. And I'm trying to get through this fucking March Madness of Horror for you guys. So yeah, that's going to do it. You know, as always, you can vote via email. You can get a hold of me at horrorcorebart@yahoo.com. You can call and leave a voicemail. That number, as always, is 269-823-9037. You can find me on Facebook, which seems to be what everybody wants to do. I mean, Christ, I've gotten so many Facebook friend requests in the past week. It's unbelievable. I'd love it. Thanks, guys. It makes me feel real cool, cooler than usual. But, yeah, you can find me at, you know, facebook.com/horrorcorebart. If you're already friends with me on there, go ahead and vote there. I'll be posting that here shortly. Also, you know, if you're not a friend, friend me. Yeah, I accept all requests. I ain't going to turn anybody down, even if you fucking hate me and have sent me hate mail. Not going to turn you down, man. Once again, want to say thanks to Root Rot. I've been talking to him a little bit lately, and real cool guy. It was awesome to hang out with you at Motor City Nightmares. Want to say thanks to Gray. Gray's given me a lot of advice in the past, and it was great to finally meet him. You know, it was cool to hang out with those guys. Look for, now, they were recording when I was there, and like I said, I sat in on some of the recording, so look for that in the future from those two guys. You know, the Dark Hours podcast and the Witch's Hat blogcast. Maybe I'll be making a guest appearance on there. It'd be fucking awesome. I'm looking forward to it. So anyways, until then, you know, get a hold of me. Vote on between Friday the 13th and Halloween. Give me some feedback. Tell me what I'm doing right. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. It's all fucking welcome. So until next time. Talk hard.